You'll turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. We've cut everything short this morning except the sermon. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read the first 8 verses. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule of faith and practice, the only unfailing guide to tell us what we should believe and how we should live our lives. Therefore, to know God's will and God's way, we go to His Word. Listen, hear what God says to us in this portion of Scripture. Look back up at verse 16 and 17 in chapter 3, the last 2 verses. It talks about the Bible. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. For what purpose? That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So if you want to be a complete Christian and equipped to do God's work, it means you must be involved in God's Word. Now in our Scripture for this morning, in verse 2 of chapter 4, it says, preach the Word. And that's the word it's talking about, the Word of God. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be urgent. There is a sense of urgency about the things of God. Do you know why? It's because Jesus, who came once, is coming again. And if you'll just glance down at verse 8, at the very last part of the sentence, not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. That's about the second coming of Jesus. There's a sense of urgency because time's running out. Time's coming to an end when we're going to have opportunity to preach the gospel. Therefore, preach the word, be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming. Time's running out. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching but have itching ears. That's an interesting phrase, itching ears. I've underlined it in my Bible. It means that there are people whose commitment has waned, whose sense of awe and reverence before God has deteriorated, and they're listening for every new thing that comes along. Itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. So when you lose your sense of wonder before God, you end up wandering into myths. And that's where I got our sermon title. As for you, always be steady, endure suffering. That is, I like that. Be steady, stand fast, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now here's a personal word from Paul. Apparently, he is in prison and he has been sentenced to death. For I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I hope I can say that at the end, don't you? Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, and here's a wonderful promise, this promise of a righteous a reward of righteousness, not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Now, would you do this? Would you take your bulletin and mark your Bible right there? Because I'm going to ask you to open it up again in a minute. Our meditation is entitled, The Wonder and the Wander. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own liking. Isn't that amazing? We want somebody to suit our own liking. God wants us to suit His liking. And we'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word, and to His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, as we come to this moment in the ongoing history of this congregation, we pray that You'll speak to us, bless us now, and through this scripture give us insights into who You want us to be. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, today is a very important day in the ongoing history of Central Presbyterian Church, because this morning we're going to ordain and install trustees and elders and deacons, some of them being ordained into their particular office for the first time. Now, I want to tell you that these men have gone through a pretty stiff training course. They were required to attend 12 sessions. These were video sessions of their pastor, and they had question and answer sheets that they had to fill out as they watched the program, and they tell me that I gave so much to them that if they dropped their pencil, they were done for. And this course was designed to give them some information in terms of the history of Presbyterianism, in terms of the theology, the faith of the Presbyterian Church, and the government of the Presbyterian Church. However, one of the most significant parts of their examination, and they were examined before the session on all this stuff they had studied. They were brought in and were given an oral examination before the session. But one of the most important things they did was to give their testimony on how they became a Christian and their personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that every one of these elders and deacons can share how they came to know Jesus and what he means to them today. Now, I would not attempt to judge officers in other congregations because I really don't know. But I must confess that in my own ministry in years past, there have been times when there were elders and deacons serving on the session of the board who was not really able to give that kind of a testimony. And I think one of the reasons that there is so much spiritual dynamic at Central is because of the kind of spiritual leadership our officers are giving to this congregation. People who visit Central sense that there's something different going on here. Frequently, I have visitors say to me back there at the door, and you have them say it to you sometimes, "Hey, what's going on in this church?" And I say, "What do you mean?" They say, "Something's different. You just feel it when you walk in here." Last Sunday, we had a committee from Presbytery here with a number of ministers. And later on during the week, I was at a meeting where one of those ministers was present, and he sought me out. And he said, "You know, when I came to your church last Sunday," he said, "I had to park blocks away." He said, "There were people everywhere going to church, and they were really friendly. Almost everyone spoke to me. And there was a sense of excitement about them. You could tell they had a lot of anticipation about going to church." Well, I thought that was a wonderful testimony. It's exciting to be a part of this dynamic congregation and the exciting ministries that various ones of you are involved in. Yesterday and today, I have been talking to some of the members of our church who were down in Dallas last week participating in the Presbyterian Congress on Renewal. And the one thing they kept saying is, "One thing we learned down there is how fortunate we are to be a part of Central Church." Well, my point is this: because we have leadership that is spiritual, we have elders and deacons who are people of God, and that makes a tremendous difference in the life of a congregation. But the second point I want to make is that a commitment to Christ and a deep spiritual life is not limited to our officers alone. No, we have a tremendous number of the members of this church who can give testimony to a personal relationship to Christ, who evidence the gifts of the Spirit for ministry. One small example of this is the number of people who can give testimony, for example, to the fact that in their walk with Christ, they have become tithers. Every fall, during the commitment season, when we are getting commitment from the congregation for the budget for the coming year, at each service we have a family or an individual give testimony about his or her stewardship. And you know, we have so many people who want to give their testimony that we can't accommodate them all. And I think that's exciting. I don't know if you know this. We have one of the highest per capita giving records of any large Presbyterian church in America. Recently, I was talking to a former member of this church, D.A. Sharp, who's now the business administrator for the Highland Park Presbyterian Church in Dallas. And that church, Highland Park Church, is the largest Presbyterian church in America. They have a budget of about $5 million. They have multimillionaires in their church like Mr. Perot and the Hunt brothers and the Toddie Lee Wynn family and others, all of whom give large amounts to that church. And I don't think we have anybody in our church who begins to give a gift in the magnitude of their giving. And yet D.A. tells me that our per capita giving is higher than theirs. Well, now, I hope God will deliver us from spiritual pride, because that's not what I intended. I was just making the point that one of the reasons there's a spiritual vitality at Central is because so many of our members are people committed to Jesus Christ. They are tithers, they've got gifts for ministry, and they're exercising those gifts in the life of the church. But the third point I want to make, so the first point is we have a dynamic church spiritually because of the spiritual leadership of our officers. Secondly, because our people are committed to Christ. But the third point I want to make is that things never stay the same. Things change. Things are not what they were 5 years ago here at Central. I hope they're better. 5 years from now, things won't be as they are this morning. And the question I want to ask is this. As things change, and I suppose change is inevitable, will things get better or will they deteriorate? When I was first ordained as a minister of the Southern Presbyterian Church in 1954, the Presbyterian Church U.S., it was a dynamic church, a dynamic denomination, growing by leaps and bounds. Every year we were establishing hundreds of new churches across the South. Every presbytery was busy starting churches. And as the Southern Sun Belt was exploding numerically in population growth, the Southern Presbyterian Church was dynamically growing. But then something happened. What do you think happened? Well, the church began to wander. It lost its first love. Do you remember when the disciple John wrote in the book of Revelation to the seven churches? And speaking for God, he addressed those seven churches. And one of the churches was Ephesus. And he said this to that church. This is God speaking. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. And then he went on to add, remember then from what you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you, and listen to this, and remove your lampstand from its place. Oh, for God to remove your lampstand. The Presbyterian Church U.S. began to change its view on Scripture. It changed its ordination vows. It attempted to change its confessional standards. It began to emphasize social action and changing the structures of society. It began to make political pronouncements and began to support theological views and positions that were inconsistent with the previous traditions of the church. Do you know what happened? The church quit growing. It stabilized. And at a time when the South was just exploding in growth, we were not growing, and then slowly we began to lose membership. The church had lost its sense of wonder, its sense of awe and reverence before God, and as a result, it began to wander. If you don't have a sense of wonder about God, you begin to wander from God. Let me give you a visual demonstration, something you can see. Here are the minutes of the General Assembly of our old denomination for 1954, the year I was ordained. These are the minutes of the annual meeting of the denomination of a dynamic church, starting over 100 new churches a year, growing like crazy, you know, really, really a spiritual dynamo for God. And that's their minutes. 28 years later, in 1982, the church was in serious decline. It was no longer growing. But here it's minutes. And it's filled with political pronouncements, statements on all kinds of issues, National Council, World Council, issue after issue in which it's wandering from its basic mission. You know, even you can tell the difference from there, huh? And that's sad, isn't it? But that's just my opinion of what I saw happening to the church. You see, the fact is, a congregation has to decide what kind of a congregation it will be. And it's a fact that congregations and indeed denominations that have grown and matured and expanded in ministry are the ones who've heeded Paul's admonitions to young Timothy, as recorded in our scripture this morning. Now, are we going to be the kind of a congregation that St. Paul suggests? Well, the answer to that question depends on large part on these men sitting right down here this morning. But it's going to depend on all of you as well. For the kind of Christians we are, the kind of people we commit to be, will determine the future of this congregation and its service to God. You know, it's a little frightening when you stop to think about it and remember the warning to the church at Ephesus. God said to that congregation, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. And I think it's entirely possible for God to withdraw his blessings from a congregation so that they're no longer a dynamic people of God, ministering, serving, and doing the things of God. I know congregations like that. There's some here in our city, Presbyterian congregations, where the Word of God is not being honored as the infallible Word of God, and where the Word is not being preached, and those congregations are in serious decline. They have no financial resources to support their ministry, and the number of people part of that fellowship are declining. And I believe it can happen to a denomination. I believe a denomination can get so much out of God's will, can cease doing the things of God, the primary things of God, to such an extent that God just lifts his hand, takes his spirit away, removes their lampstand from its place. And I want you to know that can happen to us. And the only way we can keep it from happening is to do what St. Paul said, to preach the word, to be urgent in season and out, to convince, rebuke, exhort, be unfailing in patience, that is, don't give up, and in teaching. And then he adds in verse 5, be steady. I like that. Be steady. Be reliable. Be something that can be counted on so that people will know where you are. Be steady. Endure suffering if that's what's required, he says. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, I want to make a few comments about some of our scriptures. So if you've marked it with your bulletin, if you would open up now to 2 Timothy to chapter 4, and I want to mention several things to you. Now, Paul says in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3 that all scripture is inspired by God and so on. Now he says we're to preach that word. That's the only thing the church has got to preach. I don't have social gospel or political things to preach. I don't have boycotts and those kinds of things. This is all God has given me to preach. And he says, preach the word. And verse 2, he says how we're to preach it. He says, be urgent. A better translation of the Greek word would be ready to act. Be ready to act, in season or out of season. For the time is coming, he says in verse 3. What time? The time of the coming of Jesus. The time is going to come when people won't listen to the word. There are not many good times left. The times of opportunity are limited. The chances to preach and to say a good word for Jesus are limited. And the number of times we have are less and less because time's running down. So in light of this, be ready to preach. And that's what he means by in season and out of season. He says, listen, don't wait for the right opportunity or what you think is the right moment. Take every opportunity, in season, out of season, doesn't matter. Take any opportunity and preach the word. Since we have so few times left, No, every moment is a moment for witnessing, an opportunity for sharing. So in light of this, in light of the little time and the small opportunity, in light of the fact that many are going to lose their sense of wonder and awe before God and begin to wander, turning away, as St. Paul says, from the truth, in light of that, be steady. I want people to know that when they come here, this is a congregation of God who's steady, reliable. You can be counted on to preach this word. That's what the world needs today. It needs believers who have a sense of awe and wonder. It needs people who stand awestruck before the miracle of the virgin birth. It needs people who marvel at the invasion of our world by the very Son of God Himself. We need people who stand in awe and wonder before the cross of Calvary where our redemption is purchased. Who stand in wonder before the words of Jesus, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The world desperately needs a witness by those who stand in marvelous wonder before the empty tomb and who in wonder can witness to the world, because of that empty tomb, we too shall be resurrected. And when the church loses that sense of wonder, it always wanders. So God calls Central, He calls you, He calls our new officers to be steady always, to endure suffering, to do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill the ministry. Recently on Channel 2, they had a series about teenagers and drunk driving. And one of the things that they puzzled about is why teenagers who don't drink at all will permit themselves to be put in compromising situations with young people who are drunk where their lives are threatened. And the answer is very simple: peer pressure. Now, there are many today who are going to exert pressure on you, your friends out in other Presbyterian churches and in the community, who are going to put pressure on Central. They'll say, "Come, go with us. Do what we're doing." And they will want us to wander with them. But as long as we keep our sense of awe and reverence and wonder, we'll never wander from where God wants us to be. As long as we keep our sense of awe and reverence, we'll never wander from being ready at all times to preach the word and to stand. I hope that makes sense to you. I try not to beat around the bush. I never do that. I try to tell you straight out what I think and believe and what my commitments are and what I think we as a congregation ought to be and do. And as we ordain and install these new officers, let's commit ourselves to preaching the word, to being steady and enduring and fulfilling our ministry. And let us not wander. Let us not give in to peer pressure from others who would have us travel paths with them that lead us astray from our basic commitments. But let's keep our eyes on Him and never wander. St. Paul said, "The time of my departure has come." He said, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." I hope Central can say that down through the ages. I hope you and I can say it when our time to die comes: "I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith." And St. Paul said, because of that, he said, "There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." But then he gives us an incredible promise. He says that not only to me, but also to all who love His appearing. And if you stand steady, that means you. Let us pray.